Thank you for joining us again here at Berean Baptist Church for our Sunday night study in the book of Nehemiah. Please grab your Bibles and turn with me to Nehemiah chapter 4. Tonight we're going to be focusing on verses 15 through 23. We've talked about the fact there are 9 different tactics that are being used by the evil one, energizing Sanballat and Tobiah, energizing the enemies of God to fight against the building of the walls by Nehemiah in Jerusalem. So he's trying to raise up, he's trying to restore the nation of Israel, trying to restore the city of Jerusalem and raise up those walls for their protection. And it is an extremely, extremely difficult time. Remember, all around Jerusalem now, the armies have networked together to fight against the children of Israel. There's discouragement. We saw that in the earlier verses of chapter 4. We saw that the people were tired. There was much rubble. They were physically discouraged. And as the workers from outside of Jerusalem were joining in and coming back, they were carrying the message from the people, the enemies of God round about. And that was also discouraging to the children of Israel in the work. And so as we continue on, we're going to see that they were completely surrounded by the enemy, and it was becoming very discouraging. And isn't that true for us today? Doesn't it seem like there's more and more of the enemy? Doesn't it seem like they're surrounding us? And doesn't it seem like the times are becoming more oppressive and desperate? Well, we're going to jump into the Word of God and see how Nehemiah dealt with that. Was Nehemiah successful? Historically, we know that he was. Can we use the principles of the Word of God to fight against these tactics of the evil one that he is still energizing people today to try and stop the work in and through the local church? Can we use some applicational principles out of this? Well, obviously we can. So let me have a word of prayer for you, and then after that we're going to read Nehemiah chapter 4, verses 15 through 23. So let's have a word of prayer together. Father, your people are desirous to see your handwork, your power work. They want to see, Lord, that we are serving with purpose, following the plan of God, knowing, Lord, that you are accomplishing your goals on this earth, even as it seems that evil is being resurrected and rising all around us. So I pray, Lord, that we would relish in the truth of your word. You have told us, Lord, what to do. So I pray that we would learn from your word, apply it to our lives, and make decisions to be the people that you would have us to be. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Please follow along as I read for you in Nehemiah chapter 4, verses 15 through 23, our 6th sermon in the study of Nehemiah, Surrounded by the Enemy. Nehemiah chapter 4 and verse 15. And it came to pass when our enemies heard that it was known unto us, and God had brought their counsel to naught, that we returned all of us to the wall, everyone unto his work. And it came to pass from that time forth that the half of my servants wrought on the work, and the other half of them held both the spears and the shields and the bows and the habergeons, which the habergeons are like a long, long spear. And the rulers were behind all of the house of Judah. And they which builded on the wall, and they that bear burdens with those that laded, every one with one of his hands wrought in the work, and with the other hand held a weapon. For the builders, every one had his sword girded by his side, and so builded. And he that sounded the trumpet was by me. And I said unto the nobles, and to the rulers, and to the rest of the people, the work is great and large, and we are separated upon the wall, one far from another. In what place, therefore, ye hear the sound of the trumpet, resort ye thither unto us. Our God shall fight for us. So we labored in the work, and half of them held the spears from the rising of the morning till the stars appeared. Likewise, at the same time, said I unto the people, let every one with his servant lodge within Jerusalem, that in the night they may be a guard to us and labor on the day. So neither I, nor my brethren, nor my servants, nor the men of the guard which followed me, none of us put off our clothes, saving that every one of them put them off for washing. Obviously, they had to clean themselves. Verse 12 states that a repeated report came from the Jews who lived outside of the walls of Jerusalem, who were coming and joining the workers, brought these evil tidings that an attack was imminent. And in this attack is described in verse 8, and conspired all of them together to come and to fight against Jerusalem and to hinder it. Verse 12, and it came to pass that when the Jews which dwelt by them said unto us, 10 times from all places whence ye shall return, they are going to be upon you. They're going to come and attack. Now, it says that the outlying Jews told the children of Israel that were working on the walls, that were assisting Nehemiah, that were working within it, that they told them 10 times that an attack was coming. Now, the Hebrew word for 10 times, asher, means many, many times. It's a phrase that can be, any number can be added to it. So it's a word that can imply any number. So it was multiple times that were coming into the ears of all the workers. Now, think about this. They're trying to rebuild the walls. They would break for lunch. They would break for supper. Anytime they would gather themselves together, well, what are you hearing? Well, those that were coming in and assisting them from Jericho, the Tekoites and others that were listening to the conversation of those that were energized by Sanballat and Tobiah, by the enemies of God, they were coming in with this gossip. They were coming in with these words that were going to infiltrate their minds and bring them to discouragement and despondency. These words were being spread amongst the children of Israel as they were gathering together at meals. And the idea behind that was many, many times they were saying, you're about to be attacked. You're about to be stopped. You're about to be destroyed. You need to be upset. You need to be discouraged. To counteract that, we looked last week. What did Nehemiah do? Well, he told them to trust in the Lord. He said there in verse 14, remember the Lord. Fight for your brother and your sons and your daughters and your wives and your houses. You need to do this. You need to fight against this evil report. With an imminent attack coming, by the leadership of Sanballat and Tobias, and the, remember, what was their second tactic? The unified enemies of Nehemiah. They had to prepare the workers and their families to work and to fight. So we had to prepare God's people for the work and for the battle, and to battle the next thing that was really dwelling and rising up within them, and that was fear. Does Satan want to make the people of God afraid in our local churches today? Does Satan want to make us afraid to do the work of God? Hey, you better not go out because COVID-19 is out there. You better not go out because COVID-19 is now beginning to mutate and there's other forms of it. You better not go out because of this. You better not go out because you might be identified with a church and the church is now being attacked and through taxes. The church is now being attacked because what they preach from the Bible is hate speech. Boy, you better not stand up because the church, you know, is taking a stand against groups and movements and isms and the church is being viewed as racist and you had better not stand with the church. You had better be afraid. Is that not exactly what Satan is trying to accomplish today? And yet those that remember the Lord take a stand. Those that remember the Lord are strong in the Lord. So Nehemiah had to prepare the workers and their family, not only to do the work of God, and for us, not only to do the work of God, to support missions, to preach the gospel, to live and serve through the local church, to be at prayer meeting, to do those important things for the glory of God. Nehemiah not only had to remind them to do those things, Nehemiah had to help them deal with the fear that was within. And we're going to talk about that today. So Nehemiah's plan from the Lord, serve God and don't surrender. Look with me in verse 15. And it came to pass when our enemies heard that it was known unto us, and God had brought their counsel to naught. So what were they going to do? You know what we're going to do? We're going to gather. Remember what they did? We're going to ridicule. The army of the Samaritans gathered together in Sanballat and Tobiah. They said, will you rebuild with those broken down blocks? Are you going to restore worship? And even if a fox comes up, they just begin to ridicule and try and mock the people of God to bring them fear. Well, guess what? The enemies of God had tasted fear in their mouth. They had tasted fear because of Nehemiah's prayer back in chapter 4 and verse 4, where Nehemiah prays an imprecatory prayer. He said, God, you caused them to be the ones that are going to be preyed upon. God, you caused those people, those who are planning to fight and destroy us, you caused them to be destroyed with their own wickedness because of their sin, because their sin is going to be remembered before God. You caused them to be destroyed. So the fear that they had hoped to inflict upon the people of God because of Nehemiah's prayer was now they were being inflicted with that fear themselves. So the enemies tasted death. It says, when our enemies heard it was known unto us in verse 15, and God had brought their counsel to nothing, the counsel to fight against Israel had been brought to nothing, that we returned all of us to the wall, everyone unto the work. You see, the fear was in them now, not the people of God, because their plan had been exposed, their plan to come against the children of Israel. Yeah, they had networked together. Number one, the first tactic, ridicule the people of God. Well, rather than listening to the ridicule, they listened to Nehemiah. They listened to Nehemiah's prayers. And by the way, that's why we need to come together to pray. You say, I can pray at home. That's right. But when you're praying at home, you don't hear my prayers as your pastor. You don't hear the deacon's prayers. You don't hear the prayers of the other men and women that assemble here on Wednesday night. You don't hear the prayers that are going up by the people of God, having been generated by the Word of God, being led by the Spirit of God. You're not hearing those things. You don't know what God is doing and working in and through the hearts of God's people unless you're here. Because God brought their threats and their counsel to absolute nothing. So what happened? It said, everyone, in the end of verse 15, was restored and went back to the work. So when everyone is restored because the unification of the enemy didn't work, the ridicule didn't work, Satan came out with a brand new tactic. You know what we're going to do? We're going to make the people of God live in fear. You see, that's one of another major tactics. That's one of the nine tactics that we're studying out in the Word of God that Satan wants to use to stop you today. What are you afraid of? What are you afraid of? The Bible says that you and I are to fear God, number one in our lives, and fear what He can do. Fear not what men shall do unto you. Fear not him which can kill the body, but fear him which can destroy body and soul in hell. You and I need to remember the fear of the Lord because this is the beginning of wisdom. And when we fear the Lord first, that means we go back to His work. We go back to His church. We go back to the Word of God. We keep confessed up. We keep prayed up. We have the gospel readily on our tongue to be able to share that with a lost and dying world. We're faithful believers when we learn to fear the Lord first. But fear is a great tool of Satan and the enemies of God's people. Why? Well, let me point out some of the things that if Satan can get you afraid of what the world might do to you if you stand up for God, afraid of what the government might do to you, afraid of what the enemies of God, afraid of even what carnal Christians might do to you. Let me tell you, if you buy into that, the first thing is fear paralyzes. Fear will paralyze you. You know, I've learned down through the years that when terrible things happen, there are two groups of people. Those who respond, those who engage, and those who take the fight to the enemy, whatever that enemy is, and those who are paralyzed with fear and just stand there and don't do anything. Secondly, Satan wants to paralyze you. He wants to paralyze you from being faithful to your church. He wants to paralyze you from praying. He wants to paralyze you from studying the Word of God, from keeping confessed up and prayed up. Satan wants to paralyze you from being aggressive and sharing the gospel. Fear is also contagious. And if people see a paralyzing fear in you, they will take that up and they will be paralyzed themselves. But fear and faith, I want you to know, cannot live together in the same mind. Fear and faith cannot live together in the same mind. In World War II, my uncle was in the 772nd Tank Destroyer Battalion that was advancing through the Battle of the Bulge until Germany fell. One time he and his a buddy of his in the tank, the next tank destroyer, all the rest of the tank destroyers in their division had been either redeployed or were not with them on this particular day. There were six British tanks. They were crossing a large field when they got two-thirds of the way across with about 1,500 infantrymen with them. Two German tank panzers pulled out from the basements of houses and opened fire on them. These six British tanks turned tail and run, and about that time, a Messerschmitt came down and attacked the tank destroyers. My uncle was the gunner on the tank destroyer. He shot down the Messerschmitt, and those two tank destroyers ran, threw throttles forward, ran right into the face of the fire of those two panzers, went up and fired against them, popped the turrets off the top, and rendered them ineffective. It was interesting that six tanks turned tail and run in fear. But the two tank destroyers ran right into the face of the enemy and took them out. You see, many people choose to follow the fear, to let the fear overwhelm them. But those that remember the cause, those that remember the purpose for them being there, those that remember that if the battle is not fought, many will be destroyed round about. If Uncle Ken and the other tank destroyer didn't take out those panzers, it was just going to be open season to shoot those 1,500 infantrymen by those Nazi tanks before they got across the field. So they knew that they had to engage the superior enemy in order to protect the multitudes from being paralyzed with fear. You see, fear is contagious, and frightened people discourage others and help bring defeat to God's workers and God's work. Sanballat and Tobias knew this. And so if they could get the people who were returning back to Jerusalem to bring the message of fear, obviously that fear would spread through the people. We can't finish the work, Nehemiah. We can't finish the work because we're afraid. And it began to paralyze and was infecting more and more and more until Nehemiah stood up. And what did he do to paralyze those that were the enemies of God? Nehemiah prayed. How are we going to keep the fear from spreading through the ranks of our churches, spreading through the ranks of our own church? We gather together and we pray. We encourage each other with the word of God, and we stand up for the truth of God and continue the work. Well, the Jews built the walls, and they were standing ready, and they were willing to engage the enemy. Look with me in verse 16. And it came to pass from that time forth. From what time forth? From when we knew that this fear tactic was known and was a plan by Satan and the enemies of God. Okay, Satan's trying to infuse fear amongst us. Well, we know that. He tried ridicule. He tried the unification of the enemy. And now he's trying to inflict us with fear. Well, we know that. Well, guess what? We're not going to fall for those tactics. We're going to do what God wants. And so verse 16, it came to pass from that time forth that the half of my servants wrought in the work, and the other half of them held bows with the spears and the shields and the bows and the habergeons, and the rulers were behind all of the house of Judah. What do we see going on here? Nehemiah received wisdom from the Lord to continue the work of God with a ready defense against the enemies of God. This plan from the Lord dealt with a fear factor in the heart of the workers. All right, we're afraid. What if they come upon us? What if they catch us while we're working and all we have in our hand is a trowel? And so Nehemiah said, okay, this is what half of my servants, you're going to do the work, and the other half, you're going to hold the bows and the spears and the shields, and you're going to be ready if they attack us at any given plan. And so, at any given point, we're here, we're going to face this difficulty, and we're going to dispel the fears by a biblical perspective, biblical obedience, and biblical preparation. And that's exactly what they did. When we face a situation that creates fear in our hearts, we must remind ourselves of something, and this is exactly what Nehemiah is going to do. We must remind ourselves of the greatness of God. Verse 17, they which builded on the walls and they that bear the burdens, with those that laded every one with his hands wrought in the work, and with the other held a weapon. For the builders, every one had his sword girded by his side, and so builded, and he that sounded the trumpet was by me. You know, we must remember the greatness of God, and that's exactly what Nehemiah said. Look up in verse 14. Remember the Lord, which is great and terrible, and fight for your brethren and your sons and your daughters and your wives and your houses. We must face every difficult situation, not with our networking, not with our skills, not with our money, not with our weapons, not with our resources, but we must face every enemy of God, every time of difficulty by remembering what? The greatness of God. The greatness of God. Is not our God great? Is there anyone who can stop our God? Therefore, sometimes when it seems like evil's on the wind, when it seems like evil's advancing, don't forget that every evil thing in this earth is going to be turned about by God to be used for His honor and glory and for our good. Even the great tribulation, the time which God says if He didn't limit it, if He didn't stop it, no flesh should survive. What is going to be the result of the tribulation period? All Israel is going to be saved. The establishment of the earthly millennial kingdom. Has not God used key people to accomplish that goal through history? Is not God going to do that through Nehemiah? Think about it. How did Israel get established as a nation? Well, God used Abraham. How did Israel get delivered out of slavery in Egypt? God used Moses. How were they able to conquer the giants in the land to establish themselves, to have their own place to begin with? God used Joshua. How would they become a great and powerful kingdom, the benchmark of all kingdoms? God would use David. How are they going to be restored after their sin and destruction through Nebuchadnezzar and through the forces of the Medo-Persian Empire? How are they going to be regathered and restored? God would use Nehemiah. How is the kingdom ultimately, finally going to be established and restored and all Israel is going to be saved? God will use the Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ. We are seeing that picture in Nehemiah and the principles that can help us. It is good to remember that the will of God comes from the heart of God, and God causes us to not be afraid when we remember His will for us is good. Psalms 33, verses 10 and 11, the Lord bringeth the counsel of the heathen to naught. He maketh the devices of the people of none effect. The counsel of the Lord standeth forever, the thoughts of His heart to all generations. Did you hear what it just said? The thoughts of His heart to all generations. I suppose if the children of Israel continued to think on Sanballat, continued to think about the words of Tobiah, continued to think about the armies of the Philistines to the west, the Arabs to the south, the enemies, the Ashdodites, the enemies of the Syrian forces underneath Tobiah and Sanballat, if they thought about those things and the words that were being brought from the workers outside of Jerusalem and shared amongst the workers there, the thoughts would be, wow, they're going to attack us any time. There are more of them than there is of us. They have the power. They have the resources. They have the networking. They've organized themselves together, and we're a ragtag bunch of workers trying to accomplish the goal. We don't have the ability. But if you'll remember the thoughts of the greatness of God that are to all generations, you and I can be overcomers. The thoughts and intents of our heart need to be governed by the truth of the Word of God. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate. He thinks about those God things day and night. Nehemiah had the workers who transported the materials to the wall workers armed for the battle. He also had all the wall workers carry a sword on their hips. A special force of archers stood ready to defend the workers and to attack the enemy at a distance. And Nehemiah also developed an early alarm system to deploy the Jews to battle when attacked in verses 19 and 20. And I said unto the nobles and to the rulers and to the rest of the people, the work is great and large, and we are separated upon the wall, one far from another. In what place, therefore, ye hear the sound of the trumpet, resort ye hither unto us, and our God shall fight for us. The sound of the trumpet. When you hear the trumpet sound, gather ourselves together, and we will fight together. Are you and I working working to disseminate the gospel, working in and through the local church until we hear the sound of the trumpet? Yeah, there's a parallel there, isn't there? 1 Thessalonians 4:13 through 18. You know, Charles Haddon Spurgeon had a magazine for his church in the 1800s. He started that magazine in 1865. Do you know what the name of that magazine was? He borrowed it from Nehemiah's plan that you're seeing here in verses 15 and the following. The plan, or the name of his publication, was called The Sword and the Trowel. He did so because the building and battling are both a normal part of the Christian life. And if we are going to be a faithful disciple of the Lord, we're going to have to constantly be building by sharing the gospel, by being faithful to church, by studying the Word of God. We're going to have to be building, but we're going to have to fight against the enemy. How do we fight the enemy? Twofold. We fight the enemy by prayer. We fight the enemy by preaching, sharing the gospel. But thirdly, we fight the enemy by preparation. That means if they come to attack our homes, if they come and try to kill us, that's when, thank the Lord, for our founding fathers had the foresight to give us the Second Amendment. Yes, the children of Israel, what did they have? They had their spears, their shields, their bows, their long spears in verse 16, so that if the enemy came, they would physically defend themselves. Does God tell us that we have a responsibility, yea, a mandate from heaven to physically protect ourselves? And the answer to that is yes. But we ought not to be radicals who go out looking for that fight. Rather, we must choose to fight the way God chooses. Number one, we need to pray. We need to be people of prayer. Number two, we need to be people of the Word. We need to be Christ-like in our world. We need to not walk around with a chip on our shoulder, daring the world to knock it off so that we can fight against them. No, our heart needs to be filled with Christ-likeness, filled with compassion, filled with love, filled with the purposes of God. And yet, while we have this love and this purpose and this plan of God, we have a sword on our hip. Because if the enemies of God come, we stop them. Because if any provide not for his own, especially they of his own household, he hath denied the faith and is worse than an infidel. Yes, the God of the Old Testament is the same God in the New Testament. Jesus is Jehovah of Israel. Jesus is the one who's giving Nehemiah the wisdom to set up the defenses to fight, to get the walls rebuilt so that they will worship the Lord Jesus Christ in the temple. He is Jehovah of the Old Testament. He is Jesus in the New Testament. He says, I am the Lord, I change not. I am the same yesterday, today, and forever. So, Nehemiah's encouragement to the people. We see that, verse 17, they that build it on the wall and they that bear the burdens, they're continuing to do the work of the Lord while they're defending themselves. Verse 21, so what does it say? What happened? Well, let's back up to verse 19. And I said unto the nobles, and to the rulers, and to the rest of the people, the work is great and large, and we are separated upon the wall. We're going to use this early alarm system to protect ourselves. When you hear the trumpet, resort thither. But look at verse 21. It says, so we labored in the work, and the half of them held the spears from the rising of the morning till the stars appeared. Verse 22, likewise at the same time said I unto the people, let every one with his servant lodge within Jerusalem, that is in the night, that they may be guard unto us and labor on the day. By the way, there's something else going on in, and he reminds them that the work is very great, but there's something going on in verse 22 that I want you to see. Remember the enemy, Sanballat and Tobiah, the enemy roundabout, the Ashdodites and those, the Arabs in the south, all those were, as the workers were returning to Jerusalem, they were infecting them with their media message of the day. We're coming for you, and you're not going to know when we're going to attack. Maybe in the night, and you better defend yourselves, but we're coming for you. And they were trying to inflict, infiltrate with fear the minds and hearts of the children of Israel. Nehemiah came up with a plan to stop that. Look what it says in verse 22. Likewise, at the same time, said I unto the people. This is the people from Jericho. This is the people, the Tekoites. These are the people that were joining in the rebuilding of Jerusalem, but every night they were going back to their homes. He said, let everyone with his servant lodge within Jerusalem. Now, not only would they be able to be there so that if there was an attack in the night, there would be more people there to help and defend, but he would also stop the infiltration of the wrong messages from being carried by those workers who went home at night and then got all the gossip from the surrounding enemies and bring that gossip in and infiltrate the minds of God's people with the gossip of Satan, the gossip of Sanballat, the gossip of Tobiah, the gossip of what you and I would see in the wicked media of our today, the radical left stream, the radical right stream, any of that media, from infecting the people of God and discouraging them for the work of God. Listen, Christian, I cry unto you as your pastor. Limit the impact, limit the influence of the media in your life. Don't listen to those who lie to you. You turn in on the left stream media. You turn in the radical right stream media. Let me tell you, if you're listening to those news outlets, you're listening to liars. You're listening to those who are lying to you. And so you don't need to listen to those lies. You need to cut it off. You need to cut it off. You say, well, where should I get my information? Well, how about starting with the Word of God? How about starting with the Word of God? How about starting with those that you know are truly honest? You know, as I'm sharing this sermon, it was a week ago in the recording of this that we heard the news that Rush Limbaugh died. Many people hated Rush Limbaugh. Many people are really glad at his death. But one of the things that Rush tried to do was to bring an honest conservative viewpoint. I was very good friends with Rush's cousin, a former Jenny Limbaugh. And so I never met Rush, but I know that there are many true conservatives out there who want to bring forth an honest perspective. But beware, there are some conservatives who don't either. There are some conservatives who will lie to you just as well to bring forth their agenda. So I am telling you, you need to screen who you listen to, lest you listen to Sanballat and Tobiah, lest you listen to the ungodly. Our minds and our hearts really need to pay attention. We need to really listen to the Lord, lest we be crippled with fear. And so in verse 22, I want you to see that he is trying to limit the fear factor. Now, Nehemiah received wisdom from the Lord to continue the work of God with a ready defense against the enemies of God. This plan from the Lord dealt with the fear factor in the heart of the workers, and so we need to deal with that. But let me ask you, what are you afraid of? What are you afraid of? I want to help you with dealing with the fear factors. You know, when we face a situation that creates fear in our hearts, we must remind ourselves, as I pointed out before, of the greatness of God and how God is going to strengthen us. And so you and I need to be encouraged as the people of God. So he reminded them that the word was from God and the work was great and large, but God was going to give them the strength to accomplish this alone. They were not alone. They were never alone. They had the presence of God to accomplish this. So the point that we're seeing here, if you need to know that God is standing with you, then join together with those who are praying together and to see how God is working in their hearts. Nehemiah's workers kept up the work, and they listened for the trumpet to sound, just like we need to listen to that today. But they did so by being strengthened one with another. Dr. Alan Redpath explains why the Jews were successful in building the walls and keeping the enemy at bay. Do you know why they were successful? Well, it said in chapter 4 and verse 6 that the people had a mind to work. In verse 9, it said the people had a heart to pray. And in verse 9 also, it says the people had an eye to watch out for the enemy and to keep the enemy's influence, to keep the enemy's information, to keep the enemy's ideas out of the pool of their thinking. And we need to do that in our Christian lives today. And so the people had an ear, it says in verse 20. So the people had a mind to work, they had a heart to pray, they had an eye to watch, and they had an ear to listen to the truth of God's word, that which was being proclaimed by Ezra, that which was being prayed and proclaimed by Nehemiah. And through this, God would give them the victory. God would give them the strength to go forth and continue the work of God for the glory of God. But look at verse 23. So I, neither my brethren, nor my servants, nor the men of the guard which followed me, none of us put off our clothes, saving that when we put them off for washing. What is he saying that? We have prepared ourselves to fight, we have prepared ourselves to work, and we have prepared ourselves to pray. Isn't that what we need to do as a local church? Isn't that what we need to do as Christians? We need to prepare to fight. But more importantly, we need to prepare ourselves to pray. We need to, prepare ourselves to preach the Word of God, to proclaim the plan of God, that sinners need to hear that Jesus Christ died for them, He rose again from the dead, and to put their faith and trust in Him, they could be saved. But you know, for Nehemiah, the battle is not done. The battle's not over. Nehemiah will now face the greatest enemy that he has ever faced. And that is the battle from within. Next week, we're going to pick up what it means to fight the enemies from within. Do we have enemies within our local churches? Yeah, we do, on a twofold level. The carnal and the tares. The carnal are those which bring a perspective that is really like that of Sanballat and Tobias. They bring that into the church. They cause dissension. They cause division. They cause discouragement. They bring a corruptive and a corrosive influence within the local church. That's why in Proverbs chapter 6, the Lord says He hates those who bring dissension amongst God's people. So we're going to take a look at the enemy that was within, the enemy that Nehemiah had to fight within. And by the way, that's going to bring us to the next of the nine, those enemies that we need to fight against, that Satan uses at any given time in history to try and destroy the people of God and the work of God and the plan of God. Where are you in all of this? Are you spending time in the Word of God? Are you spending time in prayer? Are you uniting yourselves together with the people of the local church who love the Lord to be strengthened so that you can stand, so that you can pray, so that you can preach, so that you can give, so that you can witness, so that you can serve. These are the principles that we're extrapolating out of the book of Nehemiah. This is what Nehemiah led the people of God to do. And remember, in just 52 days, as we saw summarized back in chapter 3, the walls of Jerusalem were rebuilt. Does God want to build the walls that are struggling today in and through our local church, for the Church of Jesus Christ, across, from our Jerusalem, our Judea, our Samaria, and unto the uttermost parts of the world? And how does God want you to fit into that? Well, God wants to disseminate your fears. God wants to strengthen your soul. God wants to equip you with the armor of God to stand for the glory of God. How are you going to do that? By spending time in the Word, by keeping confessed up and prayed up, by joining in fellowship with God's people, and by doing those things that God has asked us to do, by standing for truth and disseminating, setting aside the fears to live to the glory of God. Let's pray. Father, strengthen your people from the principles that we're studying in Nehemiah chapter 4. And as we progress, Lord willing, next week into chapter 5, and we look at the enemy that is within, help us, O Lord, not to be that enemy. But help us, O Lord, to be the faithful servants that proclaim your truth in such a way, Lord, that we're edifiers, we're enablers to Christ-likeness. We are encouragers to live to the glory of God. Father, you're the only one that can accomplish this in and through our lives. So I pray that you'd strengthen your dear people to that end. I pray for them in Jesus' name. Amen.